This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. St. Louis Irish musicians Emer Arkins and Eileen Gannon have been performing and touring together since Emer, born and raised in County Clare, Ireland, moved to St. Louis nearly 10 years ago. The fiddle and harp duo's latest album, The Bells of St. Louis, is a celebration of musical friendship and a nod to St. Louis's rich and growing Irish music scene. They'll perform songs and tunes from the album at their annual St. Patrick's Day concert on Sunday, March 15th at the Focal Point in Maplewood. And they join me now to talk about Irish music, culture, and to give a preview of what concertgoers will hear at Sunday's performance. Eileen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And Emer, good to have you back as well.
Thank you.
So you both have toured together extensively now, but I believe that this is your first time recording an album together. And you worked with Kevin Buckley to record these tracks. What makes this collection special to you, Eileen?
I feel like it's a kind of a snapshot of our 10 years of playing together. We sort of pulled all of our favorites together for this album.
So did you already have a good idea as to which ones you wanted?
Yes.
Emer?
Yes. The problem was we had too much material. So whittling it down was a challenge. But I think we landed on what our favorites are.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear one of the songs off the album, Cadation Vantation. And I'm excited to share that, and this is a monthly music show first, you are going to perform songs and tunes from the album right here in our studio.
So Cadation Vantation is a humorous song, and it basically means if it's none of your business, then stay out of it. And so throughout the song, the singer talks about things that he might decide to do. And if he does decide to do those things, well, it's none of your business. So if he decides to live under a tree, or if he decides to blow all his money on gambling and drink, that's his business and you should stay out of it.
Okay, well, let's get into some of that music. That was beautiful. You know, as we're listening to this music, how does it feel to, you know, to play it in a live audience as opposed to what you did for the album? Does it feel different, Eileen?
It's definitely more fun to play for people than it is to record.
Yes, way more fun.
And typically, how do people, you know, interact with the music and with you in a live setting?
I think people take different things from it. You know, you can visibly see people engage with the music by tapping their feet or bopping along, but or sometimes you'll see people crying, and people take different things from, even if they don't understand the lyrics, it's particularly of an Irish song, they can relate to a sentiment in it, or they're thinking about something that communicates the same idea, maybe of loss or loneliness or love or whatever the subject matter is. So you can see people react to the music. I think it's different now, especially in other venues. You can also see people just videoing the whole thing on their phones, which is a funny thing to watch. People experience it through their phone, and so you experience their engagement with it by looking at the back of their phone.
And in past conversations on the show, Emer, you've shared with us that you learned the Irish language growing up in County Clare, Ireland, and that you enjoy singing Seanos, which means old style, for audiences here in the US. Why is that important to you?
The language is very important to me, and being able to share that language with people is very important to me. That's the way we're going to keep it alive. And being able to have a conversation in Irish with people here in St. Louis or in the US is not always a possibility. So being able to engage people through song, through the Irish language, is important to me.
In recent years, Emer, people across Ireland, they've been reclaiming the Irish language as a living expression of culture and connection. Mm-hmm. Where is this interest coming from?
I think that interest has always been there, and there's a lot of Irish language organizations that have worked really hard to put the Irish language to the fore and are really trying to make it, like you said, a living language. And so Irish is compulsory in school, but we also have an Irish language radio station, an Irish language television station. But I think in recent years, there's been a push and a move towards encouraging people to use whatever Irish they have. So whether that's a couple of phrases, a couple of sentences, whatever it is, to use whatever part, little bit of Irish, or even if you have a lot of Irish, to use what you have, to encourage people to use the language that way. That I think maybe in previous times people felt somewhat at a disadvantage, or maybe felt some sort of a barrier if they weren't fluent and if they didn't have a lot of Irish. But now there's definitely a move and a push towards using any Irish, and I think that's great. That really, it lowers the barriers and it encourages people to use the language in a way that's accessible to them.
Mm-hmm. Do you speak Irish here in St. Louis?
A little bit. Yeah. We use some Irish at St. Louis Irish Arts when we're teaching. The kids can all count to 10. They know what, you know, stand up, sit down. They know what the word cunis means, which means quiet.
Oh, okay.
They learn the colors.
They know the colors. Numbers. Yeah. So little bits and pieces. And hopefully, you know, that will stand to them when if they ever go to Ireland. We're actually taking a group this summer of about 40 kids. So hopefully they'll be able to use a little bit of Irish when they go.
Emer, would you teach us something in Irish, perhaps a phrase that we can take into St. Patrick's Day this year?
Sure. I will teach you how to say hello. So in Irish, we say dia ruit, dia ruit, which literally,
dia ruit.
That's it. Dia is the Irish word for God. So literally, God be with you. And if you want to say goodbye, you'd say slán.
Slán.
Slán, very good. And one that's usually thrown around on St. Patrick's Day is slánta.
Slanta, yes, that
yes,
I've heard.
Which means, it really means to your health, but it's used as a cheers.
Okay. And I've heard craic as well.
Crack.
Crack.
Crack. So in Irish, we have a term, ciol agus crack, which means music and fun.
Okay. Well, that's very apropos for the conversation today.
Absolutely.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation with St. Louis Irish musicians, Emer Arkins and Eileen Gannon. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with St. Louis Irish musicians Eileen Gannon and Emer Arkins. The duo's latest album, The Bells of St. Louis, celebrates their musical friendship and recognizes St. Louis's rich, growing Irish music scene. Now, on Sunday, the two of you will take the stage at the Focal Point in Maplewood for your annual St. Patrick's Day concert. I understand that there's a lot of engagement with the audience at that particular venue because it's such an intimate space. What kinds of conversations have you had with the attendees, Eileen?
they have a lot of questions about my instrument in particular.
About the harp. About the harp,
how it works and how hard is it to learn and how do you tune it and all these things. And I'm happy to demystify it for them.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the misconceptions that people maybe have about the harp or a most like interesting fact that you find yourself sharing?
Well, I think people don't realize how similar to the piano it actually is. It has a limited scale, so you have to sort of change the key with the levers that are on top of each string. This is the Irish harp that I'm talking about right now. So there's a little lever on the top of each string that just shortens it by about an inch, and that raises the pitch of the string by a half step.
Mm-hmm. Now, tunes do not have words. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Where do these tunes come from, Emer?
Some of them are hundreds of years old. Some of them are, and there are newer compositions as well, of course. There's a mix, I guess, on our album of some newer compositions and some older ones. But they're just melodies, you know, conceived in people's minds that then transfer to their instrument. And there are lots of melodies that are very similar, which maybe all started as one melody, but as they were passed down from person to person, each person changed it just a little bit that we end up with five tunes instead of one tune. And then there's others that maybe are quirky enough or different enough that stay as one melody and don't end up getting changed as the years go by. But there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these melodies. Mm-hmm. I would not be able to give you an accurate number of how many there are in the world, nor how many either of us know.
Right, right. Yeah. Eileen, is there something more we should know about these tunes and where they come from?
Well, I think the transmission method and how it's been passed on throughout the years is quite interesting. So when the really old tunes were written, they would have been passed on directly from one player to another. That was before there was recorded music or anything like that. And then over time, there's publications and you might learn it from a book. We try not to do that if we can help it. Mm-hmm. We feel like it's better if you can learn it from a live source.
Sure.
So recordings or directly from friends that play tunes as well.
We've learned a lot of tunes from friends, and there are a number of those tunes on the album as well, tunes that we picked up from friends either, you know, in a session or we heard it on one of their recordings or on a Facebook video or whatever.
I think that really gets to the reality that tradition is something that is living,
that's
passed from person to person. The traditional Irish folk music consists of many different tune types, and to the uninitiated ear, they may sound similar, but there are stark differences between these styles. Could you demonstrate some of these for us?
We sure can. So I'm going to play a little bit of a slip jig for you. And slip jigs are in 9/8 time. And as dances, they are usually only danced by girls. And this one has a great title. It's called My Mind Will Never Be Easy. So as you're listening to it, you should be able to think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That is the rhythm of the slip jig. Or we like to say, rashers and sausages right away, rashers and sausages right away. So here's a little bit of the slip jig.
So the next example that we'd love to hear is one of a hop jig. Eileen, tell us about Boys of Balasodare.
The Boys of Balasodare,
okay.
Yes. So hop jigs are closely related to slip jigs, but they're a little bit quicker and a little bit simpler. So there's fewer notes and they're in 3-2 time. So 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Thank you.
That was very lively. So that was a hop jig. What is the difference between a slip jig and a hop jig? So you'd mentioned something about time signature, but is there something else there?
I think the feel, there's a different feel to them.
The feel, or the swing, as we say in Irish music. I think the hop jig lends itself to a bit more syncopation as well.
Mm-hmm. So moving to something else, there's also a reel. Emer, could you talk with us about Laura's reel before we hear a little bit of it?
Yeah, so reels are probably the most common tune type in Irish music. They're in 4/4 time. And some people go their whole lives only playing reels and possibly jigs. But there are lots of other tune types. And this reel comes from County Sligo. It was composed by a man by the name of Philip Duffy, who plays the fiddle. And we're going to try a little bit of this Laura's reel for you.
That makes me feel very ready for spring.
Good.
So we're hearing something that you had mentioned, Emer, that is one of the most popular. And you are playing the fiddle rather than a violin. What is the difference between those and how it makes a reel feel?
A violin and a fiddle are the same instrument. They are one. You might call it a violin if you play classical music, and then people who play traditional or folk music call it a fiddle, but they're the same instrument. And the reel, it's a lively type of tune, and it's also one of the most common dances as well. So that is why they have become such a common tune type to play, because people like to dance reels as well.
Mm-hmm. And the last type of tune we'd like to hear and learn about is a march. Eileen, Tyrone March is something we're going to hear from you. So let's hear that first and talk a little bit about that. So as a march, are they meant for actual marching as in a parade or?
Yep.
Yes.
There's different kinds of uses for marches. There were ancient clan marches that would have been leading people into battle. And then there's more kind of militaristic ones and parade ones.
So last year, our producer, Emily Woodbury, produced a story about how St. Louis came to be known for having one of the nation's best Irish music scenes. How have you seen that scene evolve in the past 10 years that you've been playing together, Eileen?
Well, I've noticed that people are kind of the word starting to get out about how St. Louis is a good place to be a musician, which I'm very proud of and I tell everyone about all the time. So people have started moving here and setting up their shop, and there's plenty of gigs to go around, and I think it's just thriving.
Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago and now, what are some of the differences you've seen, Emer?
I think there are more people playing music informally. So there are more session players here. We now have two sessions a week. and there are more and more kids and adults learning Irish music here in St. Louis. We have about 100 kids learning Irish music at St. Louis Irish Arts, and over the last year, our number of adult students has grown considerably as well. So there's a huge interest in Irish music, and people want to be part of the scene.
Mm-hmm. Are you also seeing more non-Irish people coming to learn, Eileen?
Absolutely, yeah. Most of our students, I would say, don't really have very much Irish heritage at all.
Mm-hmm. What do they say is bringing them?
That's a good question. I think they just see that it's kind of fun. It's a way to learn music without going down the super serious classical path, mm-hmm. and still see successes, and it's social. It's very social, so they can do it with their friends. And
it's being part of a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, before we go, I want to ask you about one of last year's biggest blockbusters. Ryan Coogler's film Sinners features blues music from the Mississippi Delta during the Jim Crow era, but it also showcases a good deal of Irish traditional music. And as I understand, Eileen, your boyfriend, St. Louis musician Robert Ryan, was part of the recording of one of the film's pivotal song and dance numbers, Rocky Road to Dublin.
Well, in the merry month of May, from me home I started, left the girls of Tuam were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, my grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn, leave where I was born, cut a stout black thorn to banish ghosts and goblins, brand new pair of brogues, rattling over the bogs and frightened all the dogs, on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road and all the way to Dublin, what for lollida. In Mullingar that night I rested limbs so weary started.
And that was Rocky Road to Dublin. What type of Irish song is this that we're hearing? I mean?
So it's a song, but the rhythm is actually a hop jig.
Okay. And this jig, I mean, when you hear this and when you did get to see it on screen, what did that make you feel?
Well, I loved the juxtaposition of the blues with the Irish music. I think it's a beautiful parallel that they drew in that film. And I think they handled the music really well as well.
Yeah. Now, in interviews, Ryan Coogler has mentioned how he's a big fan of Irish music and that he sees connections between Irish and Black culture. Do you think that Sinners has increased recognition and spread interest in Irish folk music among new audiences?
I think it probably remains to be seen. Like in the 90s, there was Riverdance, and we're still kind of feeling the reverberations of that spreading the popularity of Irish music. So I hope that the same happens with this film.
Mm-hmm. Emer and Eileen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
So welcome.
Emer Arkins is a fiddle player, singer, and St. Louis Irish arts teacher, and Eileen Gannon is a harpist and the director of the arts and cultural institution, St. Louis Irish Arts. The duo will perform their annual St. Patrick's Day show at the Focal Point in Maplewood on Sunday, March 15th at 2 p.m. Tickets are available at thefocalpoint.org. And you can find their latest album, The Bells of St. Louis, on Bandcamp through Ossian USA and Emer's website, emerarkins.com. And to play us out, here's Emer and Eileen performing Loch Cairn's Shore. Beautiful notes she did sing.
and the innocent fowl of the forest. Their love unto her they did bring, it being the first time that I met her. My heart it did leap with surprise. I thought that she could be no mortal, but an angel who fell from the skies.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.